Pop Health Podcast is supported by 24-Hour Home Care. All episodes of Pop Health Podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and pophealthpodcast.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Health Podcast. As always, we are excited to be here. We are currently recording our final episode of 2018, and something that's a little bit rarer nowadays, we have both hosts. Gavin, it is nice to actually get to record with you again.
You too, Zach, and we're twins today with our Pop Health Podcast t-shirts. So yeah. When we first started, we did these more often, but our travels have taken us in multiple states. We now have two sets of equipment. It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it certainly has grown and evolved, and we have an exciting episode today. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look back on the year that has been, some of the exciting things that happened, some of the interesting guests and topics that we talked about, give you all a little bit of behind-the-scenes insight into the genesis of Pop Health Podcast. We're going to hit some pretty impressive milestones next year. And then also talk about, while there have been some major changes, kind of what we see as maybe the main mover and shaker in our world and something that we think is going to really affect moving forward. So without further ado, Gavin, you ready?
Let's do it.
All righty. Gavin, it wouldn't be a Pop Health Podcast without starting off. So as we always like to start our episodes, maybe can you tell the audience something that they might not know about you?
Yeah, you guys might have caught this if you're a regular listener to the show, but every once in a while I'll throw in a soccer comment, also known as the original football. I'm a huge soccer fan. I know Zach is as well, but I actually live in the Los Angeles area and have season tickets to both teams, the LA Galaxy and LAFC. So big soccer supporter. My kids, I'm trying to brainwash them to be soccer fans. My son Owen actually likes basketball more, which I guess that's okay. So that's my passion. Been to a World Cup. No hooligan here. Everything within the rules. But yeah, big passion there.
And this episode actually is a little bit rare for us that it's going to be released pretty quick after we record it. We're already in the month of December. So there's actually some exciting times coming up for the MLS here.
Yeah, Major League Soccer Championships actually this Saturday. By the time this episode's released, either Atlanta United. And for those of you that are sports fans and have not heard of Atlanta United, it's actually one of the most successful expansion teams in the history of sports. So that'll be cool. How about you, Zach? What about something about you that might surprise the audience?
A lot of people actually don't know that before I got my start here at 24-Hour Home Care, and both of us have been with 24-Hour for a while, I actually taught English and science and math for a year in South Korea immediately after graduating from LMU. My mom's a teacher. I didn't have the same passion for teaching that my mom had, but I hadn't gotten to study abroad, and the opportunity presented itself, and it was something that I'll never forget, and also a great experience that taught me that, I mean, if I could go and live in a foreign country where I didn't speak the language and couldn't read the writing, and I could handle that I could handle just about anything from there. So
nice. And I think since your trip to Korea about 8-9 years ago, your current employer who produces this podcast has been pretty much your only, I mean, you only interviewed for that job at the time, right?
And, yes, yeah. Yes. Actually, a little known fact about me, I was a terrible interview, but only because I had absolutely zero experience. I interviewed with the sponsor of this podcast. They were my only interview. Thankfully, they saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see, and the rest, so to speak, has been history. So that's something that a lot of people don't know about me. So as we kind of move on here, I want to look back a little bit on 2018 with you, Gavin. I know you mentioned that our travel schedules have started to vary a little bit, so we've done maybe less podcasts with the both of us, but that hasn't slowed down the schedule. So in 2018, including the one that you're hearing now, we will have released 23 episodes, which is a pretty impressive clip considering that we try to hold ourselves to one every other week. So basically, given that there had been some holidays that we maybe skipped a week or so, we pretty much kept on schedule. So nice work in sourcing all those guests and doing all those interviews.
Yeah, likewise, Zach. For those of you that might do podcasts or have listened to podcasts, getting great guests is not always easy, but sometimes it has been too, by just making the ask with the right people or having the right relationships. So I know you as well have worked hard to build those relationships in the three states where we've done podcasts. So yeah, man, it's been great. And we've actually, we're technically in our fourth year, but we're about 3 years total doing the show.
Yeah. So where has the podcast taken you this year? Have you traveled a little bit to record this year?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, a couple of my favorite episodes have been not via car. So Zach and I are based in Southern California, but we travel to typically Northern California, Arizona, and Texas for business, including the podcast. And so, yeah, I've been up to Northern California a few times. I had the opportunity to sit down with leadership at Kaiser Permanente, Stanford Health, and also with Arizona with the Population Health Department folks over at Banner Health. So I'd say Banner and Stanford were actually my Kaiser is up there as well, but Banner and Stanford were probably my two most favorite. Stanford, because I learned a lot about advanced practice providers or APPs. The guest was Charlene Platon, who's a leader at Stanford of their advanced practice department. And I didn't know much about nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and their growing role in healthcare and the need for them as there's a shortage with physicians and APPs have the skill set to do a lot of the work of physicians. So that was really cool. And then I learned a lot about Banner Health in Arizona. I didn't realize they're the state's largest private employer. And I consider them like the Kaiser of Arizona. They're a plan, they're a provider, they're the, like I said, the insurance. So it was really cool to sit down with Dory and Jason over there in the Pop Health Department and hear their passion and the great work that Banner's really trying to innovate over there in Arizona. How about you, Zach? Tell me about your travels. What kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, this year, I think I recorded mostly in California this year, up in NorCal quite a bit. My furthest travel for the podcast in general was actually with Brookdale. I flew with the equipment out to Nashville, but that was in 2017. I mean, as far as the episodes for this year, we had a pretty stacked year for guests. And it's a little bit, I don't have children of my own, but from what I hear, it's a little bit like trying to pick your favorite child. All of the guests brought a different perspective and different topics to the podcast. And I think that's a testament to what we're trying to do here is really present a wide view. But there were a couple of episodes or topics that stood out. You and I both know and associated with Motion Picture and Television Fund, and we both know Maureen Feldman. She and I spoke actually really early on in 2018 about the impact of social isolation and loneliness. And that was around the time that even I was becoming aware that that is such an epidemic in healthcare. And that was really an eye-opening conversation for me and learning about some of the physical and health effects that social isolation and loneliness can have on a senior or someone who's aging, and also how prevalent it is. Also, we had the chance again to talk with one of the rideshare companies. We had a conversation with Lyft. That market continues to grow. We both have some personal experience in that as well. Actually, Gavin and I were reviewing an article on another topic regarding medical transportation, and a stat jumped out at me. They expect that to be a $42 billion industry by 2024, the medical transport industry. That is something that we see growing all the time. It was really interesting to get those insights. Insider tip, probably we'll hear a little bit more about that come 2019 on this podcast, but it's already a $3 billion market and that growth is just going to keep accelerating. One more that stuck out to me just because of the timing of it was we actually had for the second time, he was one of our very first repeat guests, Don Crane. This year it was American Physicians Group, but formerly CAPG. And we talked to Don about some really interesting changes coming with IPAs and with the way that care is delivered and managed. And that conversation and some of those changes came right about the time that CMS started announcing some of their really sweeping changes that we'll get into in a little bit. But whether or not it was Don in ear of the CMS providers around the time of our conversation or what, it was very timely and that really stood out to me. One more I did want to point out just that we did something that we did new this year was we did an insurance kind of series. We had a few episodes right around the time of open enrollment, and all of them were fascinating on different perspectives. So we talked to Alignment, we talked to LA Care, and we talked to Care More, and all of them were fascinating because of the different segment that they are in the market and what they bring to the market. But I know while all of them brought interesting perspectives to us, we both left the conversation with Dr. Jane, particularly impressed by his resume and kind of open thinking at CareMore. Did you have some perspective on some of those insurance episodes we did?
Yeah, no, it was cool to speak with those folks. You know, with Zach and my background being in home care, non-medical home care, we haven't had historically much interaction with health plans. So it was neat to see, you know, representing the podcast to kind of get a better understanding of how they operate and the changes that are coming down the pipe, which we'll talk about later in today's show. So yeah, I think for me, just having access to those folks, having the relationships was kind of a neat, since in our work, we historically hadn't had that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So again, as Gavin had mentioned, or we're coming up on the fourth year of the podcast. Gavin actually originally launched the podcast back in 2015. And I do want to hear, Gavin, kind of the story of it, but just to let the audience know, we are currently, including the one you're listening to now, at 86 episodes released for Pop Health Podcast, which is pretty amazing. So Gavin, a little bit of a quiz for you. Do you remember what your first episode was?
Absolutely. So this is back in 2015, and actually a little bit about how the podcast got up and running. So for those of you that don't know, 24 Hour Home Care is the sponsor of the show. We don't collect any revenue for the show. It's all funded through 24 Hour Home Care. So a representative there thought about doing a home care podcast. And I said, well, you know, that's home care is great, but I don't know if that's really a hot topic and something that's really universal with the audience of healthcare professionals. But population health pretty much can touch any and every person within healthcare. So we thought, well, I love alliteration, Pop Health Podcast. What do you guys think? And so at the time, I think, Zach, you were down in San Diego doing some work down there. Zach joined us in 2016. So in 2015, when we were talking, they said, okay, alliteration, Pop Health Podcast makes sense, transitions of care. So that's how it got up and running. One of our colleagues approached some leadership at Hoag Hospital in the cardiopulmonary department, and that was Debbie Reese and Gina Franco. We were a brand new show. They knew it, but you know, we had some relationships with them. They liked what we were thinking. They said, you know what? Yeah, we'll be your guests. So we actually recorded down in Irvine, California, in an empty office space that was actually about to be moved into by the 24-hour home care staff. So they let us use the office space, completely empty. We learned how to do the equipment from our SEO guy who thought about the home care podcast, and we did it. We pulled it off. It sounded okay. Hoag, Gina, and Debbie actually facilitated it and moved it around once we released it. And we had hundreds of downloads on our very first episode.
It must have been nerve-wracking, though, setting up, taking down the equipment, setting up for the very first episode, making sure that the recording went well.
Yeah, it was. And actually, for those of you that don't know, it probably takes us maybe 20 minutes to set everything up now that we've done it plenty of times. I actually gave myself 2.5 hours, no joke, to set up the first episode, and everything worked, knock on wood. So yeah, man, that was 2015. We had hundreds of downloads in that first episode, and yeah, we thought we might have something at that point, but we still weren't sure.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because unlike a lot of podcasts that it takes a little bit to get off the road, especially when they rely on interviews, you actually knocked it out of the park on the third interview, and you had CMS, which I know there's a funny story behind it, but how did that episode come to be? How did you convince a representative of CMS to be on a podcast that had two episodes previously?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, to be up front, we were kind of cold calling people. We didn't really know much about how to get guests on the show. So I knew of David Sion, who at the time was the chief regional administration officer for CMS. And his region, which is Region 9, covers multi-states, including California, where the show was based. And so we just, I think I saw him at a conference, said, hey, we do this show, we're talking about population health, would this be something you'd be open to? Got his information to send him more info on the show. And sure enough, he said yes. What was really neat is he was actually on vacation when he wanted to record. So he was not on the clock. And he invited us to his home in Oakland, California, which is actually a really neat historical home. Now, if you guys interact with David, feel free to ask him about it. But yeah, he invited us to his home. He had his own mic, which is pretty cool. He's actually a professional musician, or at least has a hobby on the side. So once we had his episode and he welcomed us warmly, we knew that we were onto something. We think this podcast could have legs. So again, that was also in 2015. And that was episode 3, as you referenced. And it was a great episode. David's a great speaker. He speaks to the media all the time. And the topics were, of course, hot because it's coming from CMS itself. So yeah, man, that was the stepping stone where we knew we think this podcast can last, and we think we have the ability to continue to get great guests.
So I want to ask you a little bit about some of the other episodes that stand out to you, not just from this year, but before we kind of jump into just ones that stand out for you. A little bit of fun Pop Health podcast trivia for the audience. Gavin, do you know what our most downloaded episode is?
I believe so.
It is Kyle at Home Hero, or formerly of Home Hero. And Kyle, if you are listening, again, we wish you all the best and thank you for coming on. That was a huge get for us. It was also kind of the talk of the at least post-acute healthcare world, but kind of trickling through just kind of the healthcare world at the time. Gavin, do you want to give a little bit of insight on how that came to be and just a little reminder of why it was such a big deal at the time?
Yeah, the audience, you guys might be familiar. In the last few years, there's been a lot of venture capital and flash with some startup home care companies. And one of those was Home Hero, which I believe raised up $20-25 million, somewhere in there. There were billboards, there were ads. They landed a deal with Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, who started to invest a little bit into some of the work that they were doing. And yeah, so it sounded great, but I think over time they realized home care is not as, just the models had changed. I think their independent contractor shifted to W-2 model, had to become licensed. It was a lot of work, and I don't think it was what Kyle originally intended the company to be. You might have some opinions on that too, but I know there's some other home care companies that have, you know, a lot of venture capital put in. So we'll see how they do too. But I know for Home Hero, they decided, you know what? It's not working and let's shift gears. And I think he's on to a better opportunity, still with those same funds, some of the funds left.
Yep. With Harvey, and hopefully Harvey has taken off and Kyle's doing well. That was eye-opening for me on the podcast front and interview front, because I realized that we actually could be a little bit more open and forward in our questioning with people, and that they would actually be willing to talk to us openly. We're not a gotcha podcast. You probably know that if you listen to it. We appreciate our guests giving us their time and their insight, but Kyle was really open with us and shared a lot. And I think that it was something that people wanted to hear. And so I know that that was a big get for us, and also just a great episode in general. Are there other episodes or guests or topics that have stood out to you over the years, Gavin?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, going back to the Home Hero episode, which definitely stood out. That was our only episode with a four-letter word. So I don't know if that's in today's world. That still might. That's probably PG in today's world. Back when I was growing up, the word that was used would make that episode PG-13. So yeah, feel free to take a listen if you haven't already to Kyle's story. Yeah, I'd say for me, the ones that stood out, I would say Dr. Eric Coleman of the Care Transitions Program based out of Colorado. He was a tough get to get as a guest. We've been talking to him for a couple of years, so to actually get him on the show and tell his story was really neat. I've been doing a lot of work in transitional care over the years. I would say actually Zach, one of the guests that you interviewed, stood out to me, and that was Commissioner Dave Jones.
Yeah, that was a fantastic interview. He was really fun. He was really fun to talk to.
Yeah, so to get someone like him to come to one of our little small offices, you know, compared to what he's probably used to,
right,
out in Culver City. I was excited to have someone of his stature on our show and talk about the work. So kudos to you. But for me, yeah, that was a real standout episode. And again, gave our show some real legitimacy and credibility then and now.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, just kind of jumping off of some of those. So we have to be one of the only shows that not only has had Dr. Coleman, but also Dr. Mary Naylor on, who are both considered kind of the gurus of readmission prevention. And it was really interesting to be able to hear both of their perspectives on that. And obviously, we interview a lot of people that, as you're talking with them, their brilliance emanates, and those were certainly two of them. You mentioned having the insurance commissioner on. We've actually been pretty lucky with government or public figures. Besides him, we had the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary, Diana Dooley, on. We had two state senators on, one who was just in an unfortunately unsuccessful campaign. He was a great guy, Senator Ed Hernandez, or former Senator Ed Hernandez. And so those were big gets for us as a podcast too. As far as conversations go, to be honest, one of the ones that really stood out to me was with Dr. Feinberg, Dr. David Feinberg, formerly of UCLA and now I believe maybe formerly of Geisinger. We haven't talked to him. That's unconfirmed, but there are big things obviously in his future. But as someone who has a personal mission to one day be able to have something important enough to talk about to give a TED Talk, he was our first guest that had given a TED Talk, and he lived up to every expectation I had for conversation. He was an excellent storyteller, obviously an outside-the-box thinker. And I remember partially too, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about some behind the scenes, but on that episode in particular, we recorded at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning.
I think it was at 6. Yeah. So we got there 5 something to set up. Right. I could be wrong.
Because he was traveling in from back east, and he had already been up, and he had already worked out, and he had already had a couple of phone meetings because he was here on the West Coast. And so I think that will hold the record as our earliest podcast. But even despite the time, I thought that that was one of the conversations that really stood out to me. And then so outside of some of those positive memories and things that have stood out to us, it has been quite an experience with this podcast. And there's some behind the scenes stuff that people probably don't know. Gavin, are there any fun behind the scenes tidbits that the audience might not know that you think they might enjoy?
Definitely. Today when we're setting up, I spilled water. I was trying to get it on Zach. No, just kidding. But I spilled water all over the table. We got papers as we're setting up. Luckily, no electronic commitment. But stuff like that happens. I would say recently I actually made a trip out of state to do a podcast recording. And the guest canceled while I was in the air. And I tried to work around the guest's schedule for that day. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. So that was kind of a bummer. That's actually happened twice for me. Episode 1, if you listen to it around the 16th, 17th minute mark, you'll hear my cell phone going off in full loud motion. Shout out to my colleague Joe Zimmerman, co-host of the show as well. I've done that more than once in life, and he gives me a hard time for it. So that was funny. Episode 2, I believe, was with Senior Serve, and that was when I didn't have any colleagues around to help me set up, and I didn't do it right. And I felt bad because our champion who got the big guest at Senior Serve was in the room, and she's actually a former I believe disc jockey herself, and she saw me struggling to set up, and really it made the show look bad in episode 2. So I was sweating bullets and needed paper towels, and it, because of my sweat, it was pretty embarrassing. So those are a couple quick highlights behind the scenes. We also travel with a last one for me would be a big gigantic case back in the day to carry all the equipment. Sometimes it's over 50 pounds. I'd have to take wires out and stuff them in my laptop bag, and lugging that around was kind of fun. How about you, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, on the travel, so just on changes kind of in general, so people know we used to have about it, the size carrying case that you would take with you to Europe that we had to check. And now, luckily, we've downsized a little bit to more of a carry-on size case. But that does lead to some interesting airport interactions with TSA trying to go through with the carry-on that's full of wires and electronics. So I've had some interesting moments there. On the technology front, Gavin, there was a time that you and I both had to learn how to edit and how to produce a podcast episode. Anybody that knows us knows that we have no background in any sort of AV experience at all. So lots of YouTube videos and a lot of reading on that front. We have had some interesting episodes. One guest comes to mind who was a public figure that we had a full slate of interview questions for. This was actually one of my first podcasts with you, Gavin. And I remember we went in, it was all very official. We went to talk and he blew through our questions in about 7 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was a real test of our interview and sales skills to try to draw out another 15 minutes or so to make that episode a full episode. And there have been a few of those too, or some interesting behind the scenes. I think you've had some interactions too on trying to get things approved and conversations allowed too.
Yeah. Also, just a quick note as well, getting things approved. So I've had to get approval from guests to come back a second time. We actually lost an episode with one guest. So he had to come back and record a second time. And then also another guest had a lot more information they wanted to share and they forgot to share it on a recording. And they asked a favor if we can come back and do, get that other content. And so we actually did. So there's actually a couple episodes out there that are what I'm talking about. You may never know that it was a re-recorded version or two sit-down recordings combined into one.
Right.
So yeah.
Gavin, I think that's a pretty good snapshot of what Pop Health Podcast, kind of the genesis of it and where it is now. And we're excited looking into 2019. And because we do want to talk about something that has really happened, big changes with the Medicare Advantage, the supplemental benefits, we're going to take a quick break and come back and kind of give some insight into what we think is the major story in our space and in a lot of the population health space and one that we see kind of dominating headlines coming into next year.
Pop Health Podcast is supported by 24-Hour Home Care. All episodes of Pop Health Podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and pophealthpodcast.com.
All right, everyone. This is Gavin with Pop Health Podcast, and we are now back from the break. So Zach did some of the questions in the first part of the show, but now I'd like to ask Zach some questions as well. Zach has done a ton of research and is really considered an expert, in my opinion, and many others, in the new changes in Medicare Advantage. So I wanted to ask you, Zach, can you kind of briefly share what's happening with Medicare and Medicare Advantage, especially here 2018 and moving forward into 2019?
Yeah. Well, for people that know Gavin and I kind of in our other life for the company that we work for, we've both been longtime proponents of different services outside of the clinical scope, someday being a part of the whole health picture. And Medicare Advantage is an incredibly fast-growing option for Medicare, for CMS, and it turns out that a lot of the innovation is able to be tried in there. Before I go too far, I know a lot of our guests probably know a little bit about Medicare Advantage, but for those that don't, typically with Medicare, you would get Part A and Part B. And so Part A is your hospital insurance. Part B is your medical insurance. It usually costs around $130 or $140 a month. But you would also have to get Part D separately, which would be your prescription drugs. The nice thing about traditional Medicare is there's no network. So any doctor that accepts it, you can go in and see that doctor. Now, one thing with Medicare Advantage, a lot of people are starting to move to it. And I actually have some statistics on how fast that's growing. It includes Part A and Part B. A lot of the plans include Part D. The major difference is that these Medicare Advantage plans are offered through private insurers. And so what that does is it puts you within a network. But if you can stay within the network, a lot of people are finding that Medicare Advantage is the right option for them. They can also include other things besides the prescription drugs. So you might see like vision coverage or different coverages that aren't allowed within the traditional Medicare model. Just so that people know a little bit of the growth of it, but it's expected that Medicare Advantage payments are going to top $584 million annually by 2028. And to give some context on that, they're at about 206 million right now. They also expect that there will be about 32 million Medicare Advantage enrollees by 2028. And in 2017, there were only 19 million. So you can see how quickly that's moving and how quickly that's changing. So one of the big things that Gavin had referenced that we see as a huge change is that there was a rule that was clarified within the last year that allowed for Medicare Advantage plans to write in for supplemental benefits. And Gavin, you can chime in with me on some of the supplemental benefits, but this was something that was pretty exciting for us. Unfortunately, the clarification came within, what, about 2 months of the plans having to submit their official plans to CMS, their bids to CMS. But what it did allow for was multi-pronged. So one was that it started to begin to relax the regulations on clinical necessity for certain things. So in 2019, it's called targeted. They're looking at maybe more short term, and it would be still tied to some clinical need. But in 2020, they're actually looking to expand that further and even relax some of the need to be tied to a clinical need and be able to address some of the chronic, more long term needs of people without clinical benefits.
Yeah, more like the social determinants of care.
Exactly, which is something that if you're in the world that Gavin and I are in, or you attend conferences, or you read, more and more social determinants are becoming a major pain point or being identified as one of the major drivers of some of the challenges within it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you folks know, but actually a lot of the other countries in the world spend a lot more of their quote-unquote care dollars on social determinants of care. including home care, which I know, Zach, you're going to talk about here momentarily.
Yeah. And so the thing about the clarification by CMS was that they didn't provide a whole lot of guidance on it immediately. I think that it was something that they were going to leave up to the quote unquote experts. But for some of these supplemental benefits, they could include things like adult daycare, home-based palliative care, memory fitness, home modifications, bathroom safety devices, transportation, certain over-the-counter benefits. But a big one that got a lot of the attention was in-home support services and also respite or caregiver assistance. Yeah, respite support or caregiver support. And so obviously, those are things that for a lot of us, we've been asking for a long time and been hopeful about. And so that's kind of the basis of the change. Now, it was unclear how many plans were going to write it in. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the experiences that we've had with different plans here, I know. But I did want to highlight, just to give people some context, there was a report by AARP, and it is, if anybody would like to see it, I actually posted it on my LinkedIn, Zachary Morgan. You can go ahead and find it there. But it actually talked about, they dug through the data and looked at what plans are actually going to offer starting in 2019. The thing to know is that, again, this happened right before bid season. One thing when you and I were having our conversations was that a lot of them were kind of in a fact-finding, data-gathering approach. But there were some that were willing to take the leap. One interesting thing I found from this AARP study was that actually the largest supplemental benefit that is going to be utilized or included by plans is nicotine replacement therapy. So to help people with cessation of smoking, obviously we hear about the health detriments of smoking all the time. So that actually is going to be included by almost half of the plans. So 47% of the plans are going to include some of that. The second biggest category, which was a little bit surprising, was actually the family caregiver support. So not necessarily the in-home paying for just a caregiver, but the actual support network for the family caregivers or for the full-time caregivers. So that could be things like respite care, counseling, training. But the difference of inclusion on plans was significant from the nicotine replacement, and it's only going to be covered by about 13% of the plans is what they found.
Yeah. And I think the in-home support was just like
3%. Exactly. Yeah. So it drops off significantly from there. Personally, okay. And I think this comes from our conversations, we feel like that will jump pretty heavily starting in 2020. I think it was more of a timing plus a lack of data immediately available that kind of led to that.
Yeah.
So I would expect in 2020 that would go that would go up, but it was at only the 3%.
Yeah. There's actually a great paper that's put out by a leading think tank in DC that goes through the exact reasons why plans haven't moved forward in 2019, but they do anticipate significantly more utilization in the 2020 benefit year.
Right. And just to give people some idea of context, so just over 3% for the in-home support services, but four of the major identified potential supplemental benefits are included by less than 1% of plans, and that's in-home palliative, adult daycare, massage therapy, medical transportation. Actually, I guess it's five, adult foster care. But there were some other changes that came through that didn't get as much of the talk about, and this is something that we're going to talk about specifically, but I just wanted to mention some of the over-the-counter benefits actually were expanded quite a bit. So non-prescription medicine, bandages, now insurers can also cover things like pill cutters, pill crushers, pill bottle openers, personal electronic activity trackers, so like Fitbits or the smartwatches, and different over-the-counter benefits. And 63% of the plans are actually planning to cover some of those things or all of those things, which is up from about 35% just 2 years ago.
Cool.
So those things are moving in the right direction. I know we've actually talked to a lot of plans where the fitness trackers are something that they're looking at. This is kind of an overall industry view, but Gavin, you put out a newsletter. You talk about specific going-ons, and you mentioned one in particular on kind of what they're doing. Do you mind diving into it a little bit?
Yeah, no worries. And Zach referenced my newsletter. For any listeners out there that want to be included, feel free to shoot me a note. Gavin@pophealthpodcast.com. I'd be happy to put that out there. I'd send it out once a month. It's really industry news. mostly industry news, upcoming conferences, things like that. What Zach was referencing was Anthem, and I encourage you folks, if you don't already, subscribe to homehealthcarenews.com. Great resource. I get a lot of my initial information from them, and they're frequently first to market with news. I think other people may have known about Anthem coming down the pipe, with including the supplemental benefits in particular. They're one of the 3% that Zach alluded to or that we talked about earlier that is going to provide the in-home care support and respite with their plans. So that's going to be in multiple states and up to 124 hours of in-home care services for certain states. Also, Zach referenced, and we'll talk about momentarily, is we've had opportunity to sit down with some health plans, including an Anthem-affiliated plan. We've learned that, you know, people are going to be able to get respite care as well, which is really great for those primary caregivers. And, you know, sitting down with these companies, they were upfront and let us know that, you know, they know a little bit about non-medical, but not a lot. And they wanted to hear what we were doing. And Zach and I have been fortunate to already do some work with hospitals and medical groups and the kind of insurance companies, too, where we took on at-risk populations. So we were able to share some of the models. And it worked. I mean, when some of these, one in particular, I won't name them just out of respect and confidentiality, but they took one of the things, especially Zach put a lot of work into it. And, you know, it's going to be short-term transitional care, and that's great.
Yeah. So, Gavin, let's dive into that a little bit. For people who know us, we do focus on strategy kind of, again, in our other world. And so part of that is staying up on a lot of industry trends and also trying to look a little bit into the future. So that's why we were lucky enough to have the opportunity to have some of these conversations with plans that were trying to figure out how to utilize this benefit that had never been covered before. And quite frankly, we kind of ran into two different types of plans, those that saw that there was no data backing it up because it's brand new and said, okay, but we believe in this. And so we're going to kind of jump in and create our own data and see how it works for us. And then others that were a little bit more cautious and said, no, there's not data backing this up. So we're not quite going to move in yet. But as far as the in-home support services go, you touched on it a little bit. And I do, because we get this question a lot on kind of what we see, where we go. So just talking in generalities, do you want to talk a little bit about what we propose to different plans or how we propose that they look at kind of the two different groups and the two different options for utilizing the care?
Yeah, definitely. We encourage folks. And again, Zach was a big part of this as well and did a lot of thinking behind it. You know, we feel there's kind of two general needs for home care. One is short term. Right. So these are your folks who are going in and getting maybe a voluntary surgery, let's say hip replacement, for example, and they might be pretty independent again for the years after. They won't need care a lot. That's really transitional care. If they don't have a caregiver, or maybe that caregiver needs a little bit of help, then we can go in. And there's also your folks who have chronic conditions and need ongoing care. So groups like the VA, for example, Department of Veteran Affairs provides an option for veterans to actually receive ongoing, almost lifetime care. So we kind of took those angles, both the short-term and chronic care approach. Of course, the chronic care approach requires bigger investment from health plans. So based on what we've seen so far, I haven't really seen, when it comes to the Medicare Advantage side, the chronic care investment quite yet. I'm not sure if you've seen differently, Zach.
I think that what we've started to see is, and while it will move to just the chronic care management, I think what we've started to see is the way that chronic care management affects a family caregiver or a full-time caregiver, and plans begin to start to address that need. And one thing that I should back up on that I kind of brushed over before, the other part of the supplemental benefit change is that they're also allowed to, the universality requirement of the benefits was relaxed in some cases so that they could really kind of dig out certain patient populations that really needed some of these things, which allow them to be more feasible, because a plan can't offer transitional care or those kinds of things to every member that they have. But now that they're able to identify certain patient populations and kind of carve that out, it makes it a lot more feasible. So I think what we're seeing currently on the long-term need side is really the caregiver support and trying to help with some of the more ongoing, whereas the short term is, like you said, after a hospitalization or a surgery of some sort, and trying to prevent the readmission or the adverse effects kind of in the 30 days post.
Yeah. You know, Zach and I have been sitting down with plans over the last few months, starting all the way back in April.
Yep.
I think the first call we got to actually have the actual meeting with a product designer was, which is the benefit designer. I think we got a request on a Saturday to meet on a Monday.
Right.
And for those of you who are listening and might not be a frontline clinician and might have more of like an administrative Monday through Friday type role, you know, it's not often that a health plan will contact you on a Saturday to meet, you know, let one business day later with leadership.
So that was, and we learned an important lesson that day too. We went in with our deck. You know, we modified it. We had all the data. We had everything. And I believe one of the first things that they said to us was, "We usually do everything in one page. can you cut this down to one page?" So that was an eye-opening experience for us. But I also, the reason I bring it up is I think it highlights that this really is the merging of groups and of different experience, like lanes and silos that don't typically interact. Mm-hmm. And we have actually, I've been impressed by the willingness of the plans to be open and listen. I would put the caveat that as far as I know, the Anthem offering, and we're not associated, but that is a much larger offering than any of the other ones that I personally have heard of, the 143 hours. So I wouldn't expect most of the offerings to be in that range. I don't know if you've heard differently, but
yeah, I think the so again, we're taking this information from our friends at Home Healthcare News, great resource, great reporters, some of which we've known personally over the years. So they interviewed Anthem, or it may have been from a press release. Forgive me for not knowing. So that's up to 100 plus hours in certain parts of the country.
Yeah. So I wouldn't expect for most people to get upwards. Again, that's just my opinion on it, or just kind of based on other things that I've heard or that we've heard. But we do think that this is probably going to dominate a lot of the headlines. And considering that bids are due in June for these plans, I think a lot of the attention will be on how some of the early performers make it happen, and then that we would see these numbers jump a lot next year.
So we've talked about a lot of highlights, a lot about Medicare Advantage. You know, I think Zach and I can both attest to, like, we're just pumped that this podcast is doing well. We're getting great guests, lots of listeners. And one of the ways we get listeners is through suggestions. So as we move into 2019 and we are putting together our schedule for 2019, if you folks know of any guests or even yourself, you're like, you know what, I'm a expert here in this realm of healthcare and you think you might want to be a guest, we are open to different ideas and you can email us info@pophealthpodcast.com. 2019, as Zach talked about, we're lining up some guests, including more about medical transport, which you'll hear. And yeah, man, this is we have flown through this episode with a lot of info. Zach, anything else you want to add today?
One last thing that we forgot to highlight, but we're available on Spotify now. I think that was a big, big milestone for us this year. So you can find all of our episodes there and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss anything.
Great. Well, Zach, joy to work with you. We've had some other co-hosts on the show, including active co-hosts Ryan Iwamoto and Joe Zimmer, who you may hear from time to time on a show. Zach and I are kind of at the reins of the show as well. So yeah, look forward to a great 2019. Again, you can find out more about the show at pophealthpodcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and we look forward to a great 2019, folks. Thanks
happy
so much.
Holidays and happy holidays to you and your family, Gavin, and to all the listeners, and happy new year, and we'll be back mid-January.
Sounds great, and likewise to you, Zach. Take care, everyone.